16. I'm going to talk about the words of Jesus here. I'm going to read a few verses and we're going to comment on most of the chapter, but look with me in John 16 and beginning in verse 6. Jesus said, "Because I have said these things, you're filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." Jump down to verse 12. "I have much more to say to you, but it's more than you can bear now." You know, I feel that way at the end of every one of my sermons. I have much more to say, but you can't take it. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He'll not only speak on his own, but he'll speak what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He'll bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." I want you to jump to the very last verse of John 16, the very end, verse 33. "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Come on, let's give thanks to Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the people that you love so much. Thank you for your presence here, and thank you for your powerful word. Come, breathe life among us. The letter kills, but the words you give are spirit and life. Speak living words that change us from glory to glory. If your heart agrees with that, just say amen and amen. I wonder, what could possibly be better than to have lived with Jesus on the earth? What could be better than to have witnessed his miracles firsthand? I would have loved to see the paralytic leap off of his mat. I would have loved to see when the man who was born blind saw for the first time. I would have liked to see the twisted woman stand up, or Jairus' daughter sit up, or the deaf mute man speak up, or the demons shut up. What could possibly be better than to have sat at the feet of Jesus and hear his teaching? I would have liked to hear the Sermon on the Mount live. I would have liked to hear the parables of the kingdom. I would have liked to hear him teaching in the temple. You know, the chief priests sent temple guards to go arrest Jesus. And when they got there, they became so enthralled with his teaching that they went home and forgot why they had been sent. The chief priest said, "What happened?" They said, "His words were so beautiful, we couldn't help ourselves." What could possibly be better than to have witnessed the power of Jesus? I would have liked to see pigs fly into the Sea of Galilee. I would have liked to see Jesus tell the storm, "Be quiet." I would have liked to see him walking on the water, and I really would have liked to see Peter sinking. I think that would have been hilarious. What could possibly be better than to have seen God incarnate? John said, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only sent from the Father with grace and truth. We touched him with our hands. We saw him with our eyes. We heard him with our own ears." What could possibly be better than that? But you know, Jesus says there is something better. And that's to live today in the era of the Holy Spirit. The disciples were filled with grief at Jesus' announcement that he was leaving them. But he said, "Really, it's better for you if I go away, because then the Holy Spirit will come to you." For the last couple of weeks, we've been studying John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus' final words to his disciples. And there are a couple of things that Jesus talks about over and over again in these chapters: the world and the wind of God, the Holy Spirit. In John 14, we explored who is the Holy Spirit. Last week in John 15, we explored what we should expect in the world as followers of Jesus. Now it's on to John 16, and what could possibly be better than to have lived with Jesus? Do you know, when Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go away," Jesus wasn't giving just a cheesy breakup line. You know how those go. Really, honey, you're better off without me. You'll find someone better for you. I was talking with my barber one day. I don't know how we got on the subject of cheesy breakup lines, but I was telling him how we used to do it in Bible school. This is what we used to say. It's not you. I need to get my life straightened out with God. I need time to spend alone with him. That was code word for I have my eye on somebody else. Jay, my barber, couldn't stop laughing. It's not you, honey. It's God. But when Jesus said, you're better off without me, he really meant it. Because there's something better than to have lived with Jesus on earth, and that is to live today in the era of the Holy Spirit. And as I look at the words of Jesus in John 16, I find six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. And I want to share them with you quickly this morning. Six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit brings home the salvation purchased by Jesus. The Holy Spirit brings home to us the salvation purchased by Jesus. Beloved, I want you to realize something in the words of Jesus. Just because the Holy Spirit is the second witness that the Father sent into the world doesn't mean that he is the second best. The Holy Spirit is not just a stand-in for Jesus. He's not just some kind of understudy. You know, when you go to a Broadway show, you always hope that there's not going to be an understudy filling in for the lead role. At this performance, the role of Simba will be played by the second best. No, you don't want the second best. You want the very best. But sometimes we think of the Holy Spirit as second best. Well, Jesus is gone, but at least we have the Holy Spirit, the next best thing. As if the Holy Spirit were a consolation prize. But the Holy Spirit is not second best. Beloved, listen, the Holy Spirit is just as effective in his role in the world today as Jesus was in his role yesterday. John meant it when he said, the Holy Spirit is best for you. Beloved, listen, the Holy Spirit is an absolutely necessary divine agent without whom our salvation would not be possible. Jesus said, unless I go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. While the disciples were living with Jesus, he had not yet finished the work of redemption. He had not yet died on the cross. He had not yet been buried in the tomb. He had not yet risen again on the third day. He had not yet ascended to the Father and sat down at his right hand. And until all of those things were accomplished, the salvation of the new covenant was not yet possible. As wonderful as it was living with Jesus, it was necessary for him to return to the Father, finish the work of salvation, so that the Holy Spirit could come and bring home to us a salvation experience that was never before possible. Jesus said, I'm going away. In a little while, you'll see me again. Because I live, you will live, and the Holy Spirit that has been with you will be in you. I want you to know those were radical words. The Holy Spirit brought home to us something that Abraham never had. He brought to us something that Joseph didn't have. Moses didn't have it. Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David didn't have it. Solomon was a pretty smart guy, but he didn't have what we have. Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Daniel, not even John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament saints, had what we have. Jesus said, among those born of women, none has ever been greater than John, but even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Even the weakest, most unsteady, faltering New Testament believer is greater than John. Why? Because the living presence of God now dwells within us. There's something better than to live with Jesus on earth, and that's to live with Jesus inside of me. How many of you have ever seen those really annoying commercials for a headache medication called Head-On? You apply it topically to your forehead. Head-On, apply directly to the head. Head-On, apply directly to the head. Head-On, apply directly to the head. Do you know Head-On is at the list, at the top of the list of worst inventions ever? The only way to cure a headache is to take medicine internally. And so it is with sin. The only way to cure sin is to administer salvation internally. You know, there's something better than hearing Jesus' voice with my physical ears, and that's to hear him inside of my spirit. There's something better than to hear his teaching with my ears, and that's to have his words written on the tablet of my heart by the Holy Spirit. There's something better than seeing him with my eyes, and that's to see the world through his eyes. There's something better than receiving a pat of encouragement on the back from him, and that's to have the strengthening inside of me that comes from the Holy Spirit. What could possibly be better than to live with Jesus on earth? It's the salvation that the Holy Spirit has brought home to us, Jesus living inside of us. Six ways that life with the Holy Spirit is better. Second is this: the Holy Spirit connects us directly with the Father. The Holy Spirit connects us directly with the Father. Did you ever think about the limitations of Jesus' earthly ministry? Do you know, while the disciples were living with Jesus, they were constantly competing for his attention. They always wanted to know who was his favorite. They were always maneuvering. In fact, they were fighting about it right up to the very end, right up to the Last Supper. And they weren't the only ones who struggled to get Jesus' attention. The bleeding woman had to jostle her way through a crowd and sneak up behind Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus had to scream his head off. The four friends that brought the paralytic to Jesus had to tear a hole in a roof to get to him. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree for crying out loud. In his earthly body, Jesus' ability to give people attention was limited to whomever he was with at the moment. It was limited to the reach of his arm, to the range of his voice, to his sight line, to his earshot. You know, the disciples were also timid to ask Jesus questions. Sometimes they elected a spokesman to go to Jesus. Sometimes they sent someone on their behalf. In verses 17 and 18 of John 16, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Now you see me, now you don't. We don't understand, but they were timid to ask Jesus. But Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, the limitations of his earthly ministry will disappear because the Holy Spirit has an unlimited ability to connect each one of us directly with the Father. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he said, he will give you a direct connection and we don't have to compete anymore for the Father's heart. When my daughter Lauren was little, she used to climb up on my lap. If I was in a chair or reading a book or watching the news, she would climb up on me and she would grab my face and she'd hold my chin and she'd turn my head so that I was looking right at her so that she was sure that she had my undivided attention. Do you know we never have to do that with the Father? Do you know we never have to strive or compete for his attention? All you have to do to get the Father's attention, Jesus says, is believe on Jesus and you have a direct connection with him. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption, comes and he connects us to the Father. So we cry out directly to him, Daddy, dear Daddy. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're his children and we become secure in the knowledge that his face is always looking at us, that his eyes are always fixed upon us. And we have confidence approaching him because of that. The disciples were hesitant to ask Jesus questions. But Jesus says in John 16, guys, he says, in that day, you won't even ask me questions anymore. He said, you'll go straight to the head cheese without even thinking twice about it. You won't even ask me to ask my dad on your behalf. Instead, you'll ask our dad yourself. John wrote this: we have this confidence when approaching God. We know that he hears us. What could possibly be better than to have lived with Jesus on earth? It's to live in direct connection with the Father that comes by the Holy Spirit. Six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. The third one is this: the Holy Spirit privately tutors us in the subject of Jesus. The Holy Spirit privately tutors us in the subject of Jesus. Jesus meant it when he said, "It's better for you if I go away and the Holy Spirit comes." You see, the Holy Spirit teaches us things that Jesus could not and did not. Jesus said, "I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear it. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth." You know, Jesus' teaching confused the disciples. There was a lot they didn't understand. What does he mean? Now we'll see him, now we don't. Three reasons for their confusion. First of all, there were some things that Jesus just couldn't teach yet. Until the work of the cross and the resurrection were completed, there were some things Jesus couldn't divulge. Do you know that no one knew the mystery plan of salvation? The Roman authorities didn't know it. The Sanhedrin didn't know it. The Jewish people didn't know it. The disciples didn't know it. And the devil and his demons didn't know it. Paul wrote that none of the demonic rulers of this age understood it. If they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So in the teaching of Jesus, there were some things that he could not divulge. There was always a piece of the puzzle that was necessarily missing until those events unfolded. Do you know anyone who hears the gospel preached for the first time today hears things that the disciples didn't know the whole time that they were living with Jesus? A second reason the disciples were confused is that most things cannot be grasped until we receive the grace of salvation. Jesus said, "There's so much for you to know, but you can't bear it now. You can't receive it. You're not able because your minds need to be transformed by salvation." After Jesus rose from the dead, in the Gospel of Luke twice, it says Jesus opened their minds and enabled them to understand the scriptures to fit together the whole puzzle of salvation. Beloved, before we're born again, we can barely understand the most basic spiritual truths. And even then, we wouldn't understand it without the help of the Holy Spirit. Third reason for the disciples' confusion is that every spiritual thing must be explained by the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can help us to understand spiritual things. Paul wrote, "We speak spiritual truths in spiritual words, and the man without the Spirit cannot understand them. It's foolishness to him. But the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what God has freely given us, and even the deep things of God." After Jesus rose from the dead, he breathed on the disciples so that they would receive the Holy Spirit, so that they had the ability to understand what they could not understand before. There's something even better than to have sat under Jesus' teaching ministry, and that's to have the private tutoring of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us about the person of Jesus. Do you know the Holy Spirit teaches us more about Jesus than Jesus taught himself? He tutors us in the mysteries of salvation, in the mysteries of the kingdom, and in the mystery of God's will. The Holy Spirit's tutoring is personal. It's one-on-one instruction. You know, Jesus only gave group lessons. He only taught in threes and 12s and 400s and in groups of thousands at times. He only gave group lessons, but the Holy Spirit's tutoring is private and personal. The Holy Spirit tutoring is practical. He teaches us everything we need to know for life and godliness, and his tutoring is progressive. He meets us in preschool. And he takes us all the way through to postgraduate work, from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. He tutors us about the person of Jesus until we're fully schooled in Jesus. What could possibly be better than to have lived with Jesus on earth It's the Holy Spirit's private tutoring. Six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. Number four, you doing all right? Can I get you anything? A little iced tea, anything? You all right? You good? Okay. Number four, six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us into the joy of answered prayer. The Holy Spirit leads us into the joy of answered prayer. Listen, Jesus said it's better to live in the era of the Holy Spirit because it is an era of joy and answered prayer and more joy. He says here in John 16, you'll rejoice and no one will take your joy away. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. Now, I want to talk about that. That invitation to ask whatever we want is an invitation with guardrails around it. In John 16, the invitation to ask whatever is within the guardrails of asking in Jesus' name. To ask in his name means to ask in agreement with him. It means to ask in agreement with his character, with his mission. It means to ask in agreement with the will of God. Jesus uses the same words in John 15. Ask whatever you want, and it's given within the context of abiding in Jesus, the true vine. To abide means that I have adopted completely someone's values, someone's views, someone's lifestyle. That's what Ruth did. In fact, the same word is used when Ruth clung to Naomi. She abided with her and she said, don't make me go away from you. Wherever you stay, I'll stay. Wherever you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Ruth fully adopted the lifestyle, the views, the values of Naomi, and that's what it means to abide in Jesus. So to ask whatever is an invitation with guardrails around it. But I want you to know that within those guardrails, there's a lot of road. Ask whatever is in agreement with the will of God, and it will be done. What's the will of God for your family? That they know Jesus, that they're experiencing life more abundantly. What's the will of God for your health? I want to tell you, it's healing. What's the will of God for your finances? It's to enjoy the provision of the Lord, daily bread, everything you need to always abound to every good work. Whatever covers a lot of road, it covers a lot of highway. And the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in agreement with the will of God. Paul wrote that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't even know how to pray, but he said the Spirit makes intercession through us, helping us to pray in agreement with the will of God so that whatever we ask is done for us in Jesus' name. Beloved, listen to me. Whatever is the salvation of your spouse. Whatever is the deliverance, the rescue of your kids. Whatever is the marriage miracle that you need. Whatever is the godly spouse that you've been waiting on. Whatever is your daily bread. Whatever is the transportation you need, the housing you need, the college tuition money that you need. Whatever is the guidance of the Holy Spirit that you need right now. Whatever is the open door of ministry that you've been waiting on. Whatever is the rescue you need from a bad situation. Whatever is the physical healing that you need. John said this, we have confidence in approaching God that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we've asked of him. Look at me. Today is the day when we need to ask for whatever in confidence. The Holy Spirit's going to help us today to ask in agreement with the will of God for whatever we need and our joy. This would be a good day for answered prayer. This would be a good day for miracles to happen. This would be a good day for turnarounds and breakthroughs. This would be a good day for salvation to come to somebody's house. Ask whatever, Jesus said, and you will receive, so your joy will be complete. Six ways that life is better with the Holy Spirit. Number five is this. The Holy Spirit uses us to convince unbelievers to receive Jesus. The Holy Spirit uses us to convince unbelievers to receive Jesus. The ministry of Jesus was limited on the earth. It was confined to the borders of Israel, Galilee and Jerusalem and a trip through Samaria. But Jesus said it's better when the Holy Spirit comes, because all over the world, the Holy Spirit will work through his church to convince people to receive Jesus. Last week we talked about what in the world we should expect as followers of Jesus. Jesus told us, don't expect to be celebrated. He said, don't expect to be appreciated. Don't even expect to be tolerated. Don't even expect to be left alone. Jesus said, you will be persecuted. You will be hated. If they persecuted me, and they did, then they'll persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, and they didn't, they'll also obey yours. They won't. So Jesus is warning us to expect the world to reject our ministry. But you know what? Not everyone will. Some will believe. Peter believed, and so did James and John. Andrew believed, and so did Philip. Thomas believed. 120 gathered in the upper room after Jesus ascended to the Father believed. 3,000 believed on the day of Pentecost. People in Samaria believed. People in Caesarea Philippi believed. People in Antioch and Ephesus and Corinth believed. People on the island of Crete and in the city of Rome believed. You believe, and I do too. In fact, there are 2 billion people around the planet that call themselves Christian. 1 billion of those are Spirit-filled believers. How is that possible? When Jesus said the world would be so set against us, how is it possible that so many have come to believe? It's because the Holy Spirit uses us to convince people to receive Jesus. He uses us to convince people that they're sinners. He uses us to prick people's consciences, to tug on their hearts. He uses us to convince them that their standard of righteousness is really substandard. He uses us to convince them that they're in grave danger of judgment and to embrace Jesus, the only way of salvation. 2 ways that the Holy Spirit uses us. First of all, he uses the content of our lives. Do you know, when we're living in sincere relationship with Jesus, when we're living sincerely in love with him, when we're just living genuine Christianity, there is something, without even opening our mouths, there is something persuasive that emanates from us that convinces people they need God and to turn to him. He uses the content of our lives, and listen, he uses the content of our teaching and our preaching. He uses the content of our words. Beloved, everybody look at me. It's important that you realize this from the word of Jesus. Our witness in the world is not a silent witness. We do witness silently, but we don't witness only silently. Jesus said, you're going to have to speak up. He said, I taught and they didn't like it. He said, you'll teach and they won't like it either. But he said, go ahead and teach anyway, because some will believe. Beloved, listen to me. This is a time to speak up. I want to tell you something. This is not a time for soft words. This is a time for true words. It's a time for direct words. It's a time to speak the truth with the love of God. Our country, it's racing fast. And it's not a time to just be silent and just hold back. It's time to speak up right now. And the Holy Spirit will somehow use our words to convince people that they need to get straightened out. Denise and I owned a little house here in Greenwich. It was over by the beaches. It was only 900 square feet. And when we bought the house, house was built in 1930. There was a foundation problem, and the whole house was crooked. When we moved in, we corrected the foundation, we put in new footings, we put in new support columns, but the house was left crooked and we really couldn't straighten it out all that much without creating other problems. So we just considered it the charm of the old house. And I remember we were standing in the master suite, which was 10 by 10, and our friend Jonathan Naylor was hanging a new clothes bar in the closet. So Jonathan was in the closet, and Denise and Shirley Naylor and I were standing in the master bedroom, and we said, "Jonathan, we said, that clothes bar is crooked." And he said, "No, it's not." And we said, "Yes, we can see that it's crooked. It was going right like this. It's crooked." "No, it's not crooked." The problem is that the whole house was crooked. We were standing on a crooked floor in a room with crooked walls, looking through a crooked doorway, and the whole place was so crooked that what was actually straight looked crooked. So Jonathan took the level and he held it up against the clothes bar, and we saw that it was perfectly level. We were the ones that were crooked. Beloved, the whole world is crooked. The whole world is standing on a crooked floor with crooked walls, looking through a crooked doorway, so much so that that which is straight actually looks crooked to them. But it's not crooked, it's straight. They're crooked. And the Holy Spirit holds us, the church of Jesus Christ, his people, Jesus followers. He holds us up against their lives, and we become the level. And somehow, through the persuasion of the Holy Spirit, he convinces them they're straight. It's you who are crooked and need to get straightened out again. What could be better than to live with Jesus? It's to have the Holy Spirit ministering around the whole world, in every city, in every country, on every continent, convincing the whole world you're crooked and you need to get straightened out by Jesus Christ. What could possibly be better than to live with Jesus on earth? 6 ways life is better with the Holy Spirit. The last one is this. The Holy Spirit guides us through every coming challenge and season in life. The Holy Spirit guides us through every coming challenge and every season in life. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth." That doesn't mean he'll tell you everything he knows. Doesn't mean he'll tell you everything there is to know in the world. What it means is he'll tell you everything you need to know. Everything you need to, you're on a need to know basis with God. Everything you need to know, he'll tell you. And then Jesus said, he'll tell you what is yet to come. Jesus is talking about the prophetic guidance that the Holy Spirit will give to you and me for every coming season of our lives. How many of you here today, you're about to come into a new season? There's changes that are coming in your life. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit has a word of encouragement for you today. He will not leave you stranded. He will not leave you stranded. He'll guide you. How many of you in the old days before GPSs were available everywhere, how many of you ever pulled MapQuest directions off the internet? All right. How many of you ever got stranded by your MapQuest directions? I call it getting MapQuested. Happened to me many times. I followed the directions perfectly, came to the end of the directions, and I was out of directions, but I wasn't at my destination. Ever been there? The worst time ever was in the middle of the night in Orlando, Florida. I was at a conference in Daytona. The conference ended, and I had an early morning flight out of Orlando, so I had booked a hotel room in Orlando, and I got a later start than I wanted from Daytona, and I'm following my MapQuest directions faithfully. And as I got near Orlando, all of a sudden, it told me to start making a turn here and a turn there. And, you know, it just didn't feel right. I said, this sure doesn't, took me off the main road. I said, this sure doesn't feel like the way to a hotel, but maybe there's a back entrance or something. So I ran out of MapQuest directions and I found myself sitting in the middle of a cul-de-sac in a residential neighborhood in Orlando, Florida at 2:00 in the morning. I had no idea where I was. And by the time I finally did find my way to the hotel, I had time to go in, take a shower, and then leave for my flight. But now I have a minivan. Woohoo! And my minivan has a GPS on board. And wherever I go, even if I've made a wrong turn, even if I missed something and ended up somewhere I didn't expect, no matter where I go, all I have to do is hit go home on my GPS and it'll begin instructing me turn by turn and street by street until I safely find my way home. I was in New Jersey 2 weeks ago, not for nothing, but the signage in New Jersey is the worst in the whole country. I took a wrong turn. I don't know where I went, but all I had to do is hit my GPS and it started leading me back on the right path. Beloved, the Holy Spirit will show you what is yet to come. He is God's onboard GPS, God's positioning system in your life. He won't ever leave you stranded. Whatever challenge you face, whatever comes in the coming season of your life, as season turns to season, as you enter new chapters and go through new things, He will never leave you stranded. He will always guide you turn by turn until you safely find your way home. There's something better, Jason, come help me. There's something better than to have lived with Jesus. And that is to live in the era of the Holy Spirit. Because of the salvation He's brought home to us. Because of the direct connection He gives us with our Father. Because of His private tutoring. Because He leads us into the joy of answered prayer. Because He uses us to convince unbelievers. And because He guides us through every season in life. I want to invite you to stand on your feet with me this morning. And I want to invite you to give praise with me to the Holy Spirit, to the third person of the Trinity, the one who leads and guides us and lives inside us. Come on, would you give Him praise right now?